Today I'm chatting with Chief Warrant Officer 3, Joseph DiGirolamo.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good. DiGirolamo.
I got
it. You got it.
The Project Officer for our Digital Media Systems team. DMS provides Marine Corps communication professionals the ability to acquire, produce, and disseminate VI and reprographic products in support of operational requirements and communication objectives. Happy to have you on the show.
Yeah, no, I absolutely appreciate you guys having me. One of the things that I need to do as a project officer is definitely sell this capability, make more people aware of it. So perfect avenue to do that. So I'm happy to be here.
We don't talk about DMS.
Oh, no, it's tucked away in a corner somewhere. But I assure you, there's a very important mission behind it. So, yeah.
So tell me, who are you?
Yeah, so I'm originally from New York. And when I say that, I have to clarify because people assume I'm from the city and then I say upstate and then they think I'm from Buffalo. And nope, I'm from a small city called Gloversville in New York, closer to Vermont and New Hampshire than it is Buffalo. I ended up joining the Marine Corps shortly after graduating college. I got a 2-year degree in computer aid design and draft. You know, I was on my way to get a 4-year degree and I didn't feel like I had any sense of purpose or direction. I was kind of strapped for cash. I did that, you know, to kind of follow in some of my friends' footsteps.
Did a lot of friends join the Marines or others?
Yes, services? A couple of my good buddies, they joined straight out of high school. I thought, I'm going to join a bunch of my other friends going to college. And I'm glad I did it. I went to State University of New York College of Technology, Delhi. And that's where I met my wife, Amy. I graduated. I really didn't have a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
I kind of was just not knowing if the direction I was going is the direction I wanted to go. So I ended up walking into a recruiting station and ended up getting the Navy recruiter actually ended up grabbing me first. I had no intentions of talking to the Navy, but he was there and the Marines weren't at the time. And, you know, he sat me down and gave me like a 2-hour sales pitch. I think he kind of caught the sense that I was, you know, money was strapped. I was a college kid, right? So he's like, hey, I own a house and a 2-car garage and a riding lawnmower.
This could be you.
Yes. And I'm like, that really didn't satisfy the empty space that I was looking for. And sure enough, I walked out of there. And the very next day I walked into the Marines office. You know, they didn't even go through the benefit tag thing. And they're just like, hey, where's the test? Sign me up. Let's go. Let's do this thing. Today, now I do own a house and a car and a riding lawnmower, which is kind of funny to think about. But yeah,
but that's not why you.
No, I joined, you know, it was shortly after 9/11. I was a freshman in college when that happened. I think that's what created the sense of service. And, you know, I was so close to home. It was in New York. The student body was from New York City. You could feel that, right?
The patriotism.
Yeah.
The country came together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then that's pretty much, you know, shortly after I was, you know, in combat operations after I joined. So I knew what I was getting myself into. And I'm glad I did it. I mean, I was not in a direction where, you know, who knows where I was going. The Marine Corps filled that gap of serving, but also, like, you know, straightened me up. So
how did you end up choosing combat camera?
Actually, I'm public affairs.
Okay.
Which is, there's a whole story behind that. But yeah, in the recruiting office, I was, hey, I have a degree in computer aid design and draft. You know, we do technical drawings, engineering drawings. Is there anything in the Marine Corps that's closely related to that? And he said no, which I think there probably is. Yeah, combat engineer comes to mind. But he's like, why not public affairs? And I was like, sounds good. I don't know what that is, but let's do it. Because I was just eager to be a Marine. I didn't care about the job at the time. And I remember day one of checking into Fort Meade, Maryland, the Defense Information School. They talked about writing and we're going to take the English diagnostic test and learn about writing stories. And I'm like, writing?
I didn't sign up for this.
I CAD in college. I don't want to write, but thank God it happened because it's been a wonderful career.
You've had a great career. Do you have a favorite assignment?
Yeah, that's hard to pinpoint, right? So I've been at every MEF. I've done my MU thing. I've deployed, right? I even got a chance to go to Syracuse University to take a year of advanced photojournalism because that's offered in our OCC field, which is super cool. But if I had to pinpoint something, it'd probably be when I was an instructor at the Defense Information School. I was a sergeant at the time. And I think teaching, you learn a lot about not only, you know, how to teach, but learn a lot about yourself, learn a lot about your character.
Yeah.
And you're molding the future generation of Marines in a different way, right? Not like a drill instructor, but you're doing it in your community, and that impact is long lasting. It's super cool to witness, and it was just a really good time. And I think that was when I was about at my 8-year mark, and I knew that, okay, I'm in this to the long haul. I really enjoy what I'm doing and the impact that I'm making now. So
you get to share your passion with other people.
Yeah.
So you have a first degree black belt in the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program. What made you interested in martial arts?
Yeah, so when I was an instructor at the Defense Information School at Fort Meade, I had the opportunity to get my instructor tab. A few of the Marines came up from the Mace here on Quantico, and they ran us through a 3-week course. And at the time, you know, MCMAP, I was indifferent, right? And they came up, and boy, did they change my view and opinion of martial arts. You know, I ended up, unfortunately, breaking a few bones, cracking a few ribs, to get my degree, my black belt, which is fine. I think that comes with the territory of martial arts. I would not want to do it again if I could avoid breaking some bones. But one thing I did love and learn about the martial arts program, the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program, is that character development side of it. You know, you learn some cool techniques, war ethos, fighting, and so on and so forth. But it really does a strong emphasis on character development. And that side is not really advertised as much. That's when I started to really buy into the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program. And I loved it. I graduated with my tab. And for 6 years, because you have to renew your tab every 3 years.
Okay.
And for 6 years, I got to instruct hundreds of Marines. It really taught me a lot about myself.
Were you doing martial arts before doing it with the Marine Corps? Was it a hobby on the side?
No. I had maybe a small karate stint when I was a young kid.
Okay.
Obviously, the Marine Corps is a violent organization, and so you're gravitated towards that stuff. But learning MCMAP, like I said, it's an extremely violent thing, and we're in a violent organization. But MCMAP teaches you to control. I'll steal a little anecdote that they use, right? You view yourself as a Marine on a stool with three legs, and those legs each represent discipline, right? You have your physical discipline, your moral discipline, and your spiritual discipline. And I think the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program does a great job at teaching you how to balance all three of those things. And just like a three-legged stool, if one of the legs is off balance, then the whole thing can come crumbling down. So I learned a lot about that. I mean, they teach you from wrong, from right. You have deep conversations about uncomfortable things with the Marines around you, you know, life, you know, family, all that stuff. And
it's mental and physical.
Yeah. Certainly it is. And you fight Marines, and then at the end of fighting with them, you talk about stuff. And I think that's where the magic is, right? It's that character development. After you punch it out for 2 hours and you've worked out until you can't do it another burpee, then you have a good important conversation. I think that's a perfect setting. You know, it beats doing it on a web, web program or in a large auditorium, right? It's more personal, and I think that's where the martial arts program really gets it right.
I've started kickboxing.
Nice.
And boxing,
nice.
But I'm bruised, and now I have this thing on my arm.
That's
so,
what that was.
Yeah, I'm like,
sorry.
I keep getting tennis elbow, like everything. I'm like, oh, I'm getting old, or like, this is just really hard.
I saw a meme the other day where this guy is, he's like, when you're older and working out, and he lifted something heavy, and he's like, and they started playing a song, I hurt myself today. Yeah, like, that's exactly what happens. I just reached 40, and now I'm... I think I can lift heavy, and then, I'm down for a couple of days.
You, like, move the wrong way right. Just for a second, and it's like, oh, everything hurts now. Okay, let's talk about DMS. I know it's a fairly new program of record, but it combined two longstanding programs. Can you just give us a brief overview of it?
Yeah, Digital Media Systems is a combination of two previously existing program of records. It was Public Affairs Systems and Combat Camera Systems.
Okay.
And that's been around longer than I probably been around, right? So I really don't know the true history of how long the program is. I probably dated back to maybe 2001, but those two programs are now merged into Digital Media Systems. And it just followed the path of those two occupational fields merging. So Public Affairs merged with the Combat Camera. Obviously, there's some like capabilities. One of them that calls to mind is acquiring imagery, right? Taking photos, capturing video, making graphics. So it combined, I think, 13 systems And
oh, that's a lot.
And then the previous project officer was able to find, you know, redundancies and find efficiencies and manage to, you know, get that down to 6 manageable systems. So okay. There's still a lot under the digital media system portfolio or program record, but it's more manageable now than it was before.
As you said, there's been changes with the occupational field, which I know has to have impacted the way that we're acquiring new equipment. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Like I said before, digital media systems had to kind of go through, you know, a rehaul. First stage was, like I said, decluttering. We had to take a lot of systems that were complementary to each other and just find efficiencies and make sure that we weren't purchasing more than we need to or fielding more than we need to. So we decluttered. Like I said, we got 13 systems down to 6. You know, basically the Commandant's vision, right? Smaller, lighter, faster, and better. So now we have to look at the program through that lens. What are we doing? You know, are we giving the Marines the right tools they need? You know, a balance of, you know, those capabilities to make sure that they have, because we're not in a business of having a fair fight. We want to give them the competitive edge and the information space to, you know, to outmaneuver, right? So, and I think the previous project office, because I've only been here for a year, and you know, but the previous project officer was able to field our visual information acquisition system, which is a really cool
Viaz.
It's a you know, it comes in 4 kits, right? You have you have the main variant Viaz, and you have a Viaz photo kit, a Viaz video kit, and a Viaz or VIPS visual information production system. It's a graphics kit, right? And what's cool about that is that now every Marine in this OCC field has a 1-for-1 kit, right? Nothing that was never a thing growing
you
up.
All
every sure. unit was different.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the unit you went to, whether they had their act together or not, is what kind of quick camera equipment you got to use, right?
Or software,
right? I've been to units where the camera's older than me, and I've been to units where I think they got the camera, you know, before it went to the commercial market, right? So, like, you just had a mixed bag, and what the previous team was able to do was baseline that, and I think that's extremely important. Now, every Marine across the battle space has exactly the same kit, and that does incredible for like life cycle management, the maintenance of those systems,
training.
It just makes everything much more efficient, much more easier to deal with. I think that's a testament to the hard work that Digital Media Systems is providing for the Comstrat force.
In your opinion, why is it important to have Comstrat
in
the field? Because we, you know, people tend to think of just Comstrat of in an office or printing things or that, but Marines are actually going into the field. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so, you know, based off of 19 years of doing the job, I mean, Comstrat is too crucial not to have, right? These warriors are telling the Marine Corps story. We're preserving that for generations to come. Down to the nitty gritty, that's what Comstrat is here to do, right? We can put some buzzwords on it, but ultimately, you know, it's to tell our story. And that can shape nations' opinions of what we're doing, right? And you have to be at the point of friction to capture that imagery, to tell that story. That's where most of my career has been, right? At the tactical edge, at the point of friction, and to acquire that imagery. And we do such a good job at not just because everyone's got a camera now, right?
Yeah.
That's the saying, well, not everyone knows how to shoot. Not everyone knows how to preserve that, accession that imagery by law, by the standing laws that we have, you know, to properly preserve that and tell the story, right? I made a joke the other day, you know, if you don't want Comstrat, then you're going to get the Blair Witch version of a battle, right? Who knows if it's going to be good or not, but it's, I guess, depends on your view. Or do you want the, you know, maybe the Top Gun Maverick look at how we capture imagery and tell a story. So you can probably do without us, but I wouldn't want to be in a Marine Corps that doesn't have Comstrat being able to inform, and especially nowadays with social media. I mean, imagine a world where Comstrat doesn't exist, but everything on social media is the narrative of what you're doing, right? If without Comstrat, the Marine Corps just is steeped in lore at that point, right? It doesn't have a bona fide focused effort into telling our story, and, you know, truthful, timely, accurate, and with the precision to get it to the right people. So that's
And we have to inform the American public too, not just everyone.
We're always in operational mode. That's one thing that's really tough, is because everything we do matters. Every picture we take matters, and we're always in that shaping, you know, phase zero shaping operations. It's tough because that really puts a burden on the unit to try to reserve space for training and other stuff. I mean, everyone wants ComStrat, but there's not enough of us to go around.
We're a small field.
It's a small field, but it's so vital. It's such a crucial and important job.
So let's say you're in the field and you're capturing photo, video. Do you have a place in the field where you can go through all that, or do you have to wait until you get back to a base?
Yeah, I mean, depends on how you're training. We'd like to get to a point, I mean, objective, if I want to use some SISCOM terms, thresholds and objectives. The objective would be to acquire that imagery at the point, right?
Yeah.
And be able to session it and edit right then and there and post it, you know, to wherever it needs to go, right? That's utopia, and we're trying to get there, right? But the Marine has the capabilities on their back to be able to, you know, do their job wherever they are. We need a connection to the World Wide Web and stuff like that, but other than that, like, we will get that imagery out. There's many ways that we've been trained to do it. It's just at the program level, how do I make that more efficient, make that more streamlined, make that workflow easier for the Marine? So
when you were talking about the VIAS and some of the other types of equipment that you have within your portfolio, I know that most of it is commercial off the shelf.
Yeah.
Does that help our process?
And I'm going to take my new PMs, Lieutenant Colonel Van Bergenden. He said this the other day, and I'm stealing this straight from you, but he says, you know, you got to really weigh if we want to build our own mousetraps, right? Camera systems are out there. They're being made by professional companies. It's easy to go and seek these things out. And, you know, if you want testing and field user evals, you know, I can easily call a guy that works at Nat Geo and say, hey, while you were in the Himalayas, how did this camera hold up? You know, we also have other systems. You know, we have the Public Affairs Live Media Engagement System. That's a satellite dish. That's a VSAT, man-packable, expedient Ku-band terminal. I think I got all that right. That allows us for the commanders to do live media engagements with, you name it. It could be CNN, Fox News, whatever.
Okay.
One-on-one in a remote area. We can punch them into the studio through this system and get them to do their live media engagements. Again, that searching for that COTS feature, you know, it helps with cost, schedule, and performance. We're not in the business of making. We used to be. I think we used to make cameras. There used to be. I recall reading a book where they made a camera that mirrored off the Heith machine gun back in World War I, and the camera actually looked like a Lewis machine gun, and it was on the back of an aircraft that the barrel was a lens, and they took pictures.
That's cool.
In dogfights to measure the accuracy of the weapon system. So, no, I think COTS is a great solution, but you have to make sure that you look at through the holistic lens of the system, right? And the system being the Marine Corps, you got to think life cycle management. We cannot be in the business of buying and shelving gear anymore. You have to, and it's a balancing act. Right? I got to figure out, you know, too much stuff is burdensome. It, you know, too much stuff for a Marine can weigh that Marine down, not just physically, but the stress of having to account for all that gear. So there's a balance to finding that. Also, will the system be maintained? How do we introduce this COTS system into the Marine Corps environment? Is it going to impede anything? Will it be acceptable? Will the maintainers...
How is it in the different weather?
Yeah, you can't just simply go, you know, go on your Amazon and push buy, right? You got to really think, and I think that's what the acquisition process brings. Now that can weigh you down if you get too, like I made that testing anecdote previously. Do I need to shock and vibe test the camera system that's already been, you know, in the Amazon rainforest with Nat Geo folks?
Probably not.
No, maybe not. I can steal their test data. And so that might streamline some things. But again, I think it's a balancing act. You got to find what's going to fit into the Marine Corps system, how it's going to be maintained, the life cycle of that, and then if it's going to help that unit at that place. So
making sure it meets the requirements.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We've already talked about a few of the capabilities in your program. But one that we haven't touched on, and one of my coworkers brought up whenever she used to be working in the program office, was the Tactical Imagery Production System, TIPS.
Yes.
Is that still?
That's still program record.
It's still program record.
It's a Tactical Imagery Production System is our expeditionary answer to Comstrat Forward, right? So it's pretty much all of our capabilities nested into an expandable shelter. Basically, what you expected to get in the rear is kind of like what you're going to get forward with the system. Okay. So it just has, you know, it allows our Marines to do multimedia production. It has Reaper graphics in there. So there's some print mission in there as well. There's the ability to store and handle all that media in case they're not in a connected environment. So it's just Comstrat Forward. It's really a unique and cool system. I would say a mobile photo studio thing has been around since the Crimea War. There's history behind having this. And, you know, back in the day when you had to take analog photography, you need chemicals and stuff like that. But
hang up the photos.
Yeah, exactly. But it's evolving, right? So that TIPS version 3 is out right now for the Marines to use. It's an expandable 20-foot expandable shelter. It's a pretty large footprint. And again, you know, with the Commandant's vision of smaller, lighter, faster, and better, we're looking to build the next generation, same capability, maybe some deltas in that capability increased with, you know, new items in there, but smaller. Again, we're trying to shrink the footprint to get more of a mobile variant, maybe more on, you know, vehicle-borne type of variant. And thinking of it into the larger Marine Corps picture, you know, of will the system be recognizable to maintainers, and will they be able to assist Comstrat when that system needs to be moved? So that's part of the challenge, and that's kind of like why I was so apt to come on the show. I know it's a cardinal sin to be behind the mic if you're Comstrat, but I need to sell this capability out there to commanders because they need to know that they have this tool set at them. And one of the ways we got to do that is to advertise it. So
if we don't tell them, they don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just like anything. Yep.
We put out an article about a year ago on Vias, mm-hmm. and we've talked about it a few times already.
Yeah, yeah.
But can you talk about what is included in Vias and then mm-hmm. where it's at today?
Yeah. So I got on the program about a year ago.
Actually, so probably the same time the article went out.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was awesome is I got on early enough so I can witness and travel with the team for their final fielding of the last bit of systems. So they had two increments of fielding. So I got to go to, you know, from 1MEF, 2MEF, 3MEF, you know, all over the place, and to see the fielding of this. And I thought it was an incredible thing to witness, to see these Marines finally get a system, you know, per their job. And we're the only Department of Defense service, or I would say one of the armed forces, that provides that one-for-one kit to a Marine. It's cool that we're able to do that. And so, yeah, the Marines get, you know, that's Canon equipment. It's an R5 mirrorless system. The videographers get a Canon XA40 camcorder, which I shot both in combat. You want stuff that's light. And, you know, these big over-the-shoulder cameras might not be a good thing while you're door-to-door running and gunning, right? So we got them that. And, you know, they get GoPros, action cams. They got their, you know, the ability to do their interviews with some microphones. And the graphics Marines, they get a tablet that they could draw on. So it's a nice, versatile kit. The Vias Main is a conglomeration of all those kits that's given to our staff NCOs and our MAC Marines, the Marines that are on recruiting duty. That gives them the photo, video, and graphics capabilities all in one. So, and that's important because as a staff NCO in Comstrat, as a staff sergeant, you are now taking on the role of a chief. You're expected to know all three of those disciplines, photo, video, and graphics, because now you're in charge of running teams that do all three of those things. So there's a lot of weight on the shoulders of the staff sergeant when they're promoted to quickly get up to speed on that stuff to be able to employ it. Yeah. But I think now Vias is currently in sustainment. I haven't gotten any, you know, I've had some field user evaluations that pinpointed some things that we need to get better at, which is good.
You need the feedback.
Need it. The good, bad, and ugly. The more they provide that, the better it is for 2.0 when it comes out. So yeah, but overall, it's out there, it's being used, and every Marine's got a kit, which is really cool.
Well, and the thing that's interesting about your program too, and correct me if I'm wrong, is you do provide some level of tech support.
Oh yeah.
Versus sending them to the Warfighter Support Center.
Yeah, we do that. We have MCTISA. More for like the satellite system or like stuff that's kind of beyond our, like if we need to re-image the laptop for some reason. They're great, but yeah, I guess it's a curse and a blessing, right? I know that. So maybe sometimes I spend too much time helping, you know, do some troubleshooting with the Marines, but we push them towards MCTISA. They're a great service, not only for the ability to troubleshoot and provide that tier zero to tier two help desk for us, but they track trends. So they're tracking the data. So where's the failure rates coming? What is actually the, you know, the friction point of these systems? And through that, then we can make more educated decisions on when we want to go with, you know, the 2.0 variant. What's that going to look like? So all you know, I push the Marines to use MCTISA, but when in doubt, you know, I'm always
happy to help.
Yeah, it's about them. It's about making sure that they have what they need just to get the mission done.
I feel like sometimes people just like to have that point person that they know that they can go to.
They call me and they know they can. And,
so we talked about how you do provide some tech support, but how else do you engage with the fleet?
Yeah, I think
the best way to engage the fleet is to pick up the phone, right? So I can inundate them with emails, and I can hope and pray that they would be answered. But I think the best thing to do is pick up the phone. I'll call 3MEF while I'm going to bed, and they're, you know, pouring milk in their Cheerios. And vice versa, they'll hit me up when I'm in breakfast and, you know, they're about to lay down for the night. Calling the fleet consistently and constantly is key, just to manage expectations, to no surprises, to let them know what their issues and needs are, and to elevate those issues and needs to the people who need to know, right? So
it's
too important. I like Teams. I do. I like Microsoft Teams. I like email. But I think the very first thing I need to do is ensuring I'm constantly calling. I even write in my journal as a marker. Hey, did you call X, Y, and Z? Are you making your phone calls? Are you making your round robins? And so I do that. Like, I'll be driving home and I'll call Marfor Pack while they're just, you know, having lunch or whatever. So yeah, it's a challenge to balance all that and to get the timing right and extend your day a little bit. But it's too crucial not to. So branch out and get involved. And the next best thing to do is to travel, right? And to be a part of things, witness exercises, try to get out there, try to put a name to a face and just have that constant conversation going. It's too crucial not to have.
And I definitely feel I'm with you where I really like Teams and being able to interact with people that way. But there's something different about a phone conversation or talking to someone face to face. You just, you get more across and you miss that sometimes when you're just sending an email or chatting on Teams.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Again, it's complimentary, but first and foremost, pick up the phone. So, yeah.
And it's always appreciated as well. They're like, oh, he called. He cares.
Right. Yeah.
They care at SysCom.
Yeah, we do. We do.
I know we've talked about everything your team has worked on. Is there anything new or exciting that your team has been doing lately?
Yeah, so I briefly mentioned we're working on that next generation of the tactical imagery production system. So that's in the works right now, in the real, you know, beginning stages of it. But also we're looking at releasing some software here in the future that will enable our Marines to, at the enterprise level, you know, accession all their imagery in one location, right? So currently, you know, it depends on the unit SOP, how they manage their imagery, right? We're trying to get to a cloud solution. It's going to be twofold, right? You're going to have the ability to track jobs, like what the Marines are working on. And the second part of that is to be able to upload their imagery, manage it, QA and QC it, and then store it, right? So an enterprise solution to storing, which is crucial. It's, you know, we're governed by law to do it, but
yes,
records management. But other than that, like, to have an enterprise ability to quickly, you know, accession that imagery and then preserve it. So we have this thing called DVIDS, which is a great tool, but that is for publicly releasable imagery.
and not, not all of our
not imagery. All imagery is publicly releasable, but it is still important to preserve, and it's mandated to do that as well. So we wanted to come up with an enterprise solution. So you get twofold. You get the storage piece, which is great. And then you also have that business side of the house where it's going to be able to analyze and track trends and throw that into, you know, some sort of machine learning and figure out, okay, where do we need to surge? Where do we need to maybe not? Who needs more help here? Who may need not, you know, something else here? And that will inform decisions in the future. So it's something that we've needed for a while, and looking forward to probably releasing that here in the next fiscal year.
Yeah, CompStrat's one of those fields where it is hard sometimes to capture the data.
Yeah.
Because everything we do, there aren't always numbers associated.
Right.
So that's going to be great.
And it's based off of, you know, legacy. Comet Camera had the job order database back in the day, which did that, but it was always local area networks, you know, not hosted in a cloud. So we're just maneuvering to where everyone, I think, is going. Right. So into the cloud. Right?
Cloud everything.
Yeah. Cloud everything.
We kind of talked about your career, but I have to ask, how did you end up at Syscom? We didn't talk about the progression.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So how I ended up at Syscom? Well, previously I was stationed at the 2nd Marine Logistics Group, which is probably the best place you can learn about maintenance, preventative maintenance, life cycle management of equipment. There I had the Tactical Imagery Production System 3.0. I was able to use that in several different command post exercises, but also we deployed it to MEFX up in Fort Drum, New York. So I was able to ship it, you know, like 900 miles north and use it to its capabilities. And I think the Ockfield got wind of this and they started paying attention to what I was doing. Also GCSS Marine Corps. So that's a very new concept to our Marines. It is.
It's an all-encompassing system.
Yeah, I pulled up to a Lance Corporal, like, hey, teach me this real quick. I need to know how to maneuver within this application. It was foreign to a CompStrat, and I learned how to do it, how to navigate it, how to maintain my gear, how to rip or replace parts and do all that stuff. And I ended up making a how-to guide for the fleet, Marine Force, and everyone started coming to me. And actually, you know, I wasn't the only one. My buddy over at Marfor Pack that I mentioned, Chief Officer Anderson, who I want to come visit with my family, he really, you know, showed me the ropes on how to use GCS Marine Corps. And I guess I got too involved in it, and I started making how-to guides and like trying to educate the force. And Syscom, I think
caught
wind of it, and they I was trying to sunset out of the Marine Corps at Camp Lejeune because I'm, you know, going to hit retirement here in a couple years. But the Marine Corps had better plans for me, so now I'm here.
They always do.
Yeah.
That covers it. Is there anything else?
No, I think appreciate you having me. Hopefully I don't get too many knives thrown my way after this gets released on Equipping the Corps. But no, it's very important that we, digital media systems, educate the force and what we do and what we provide, and that way commanders know to use us and know how to leverage us in the best way that they see fit. So again, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate having you on. We do a thing called the lightning round.
Okay.
I didn't send you these questions
because
it's gonna be off the top of your head.
Sure.
Okay, the first one: what song makes you happy?
Don't Stop Believing. I think I got the title right.
I think that's the only song.
I have to play that every once in a while. Make me happy.
Imagine you could teleport anywhere. Where would you go?
I would take the family to Hawaii right now. It's on the bucket list to go. I have friends there that have been begging me to go. They're stationed there. Just haven't pulled the trigger. This is the one place I want to take my family.
You never been stationed there?
Nope.
Wow.
Been to Okinawa. Now that's a tropical paradise too. Yeah. But I've been to Hawaii. I've fielded in Hawaii, so unfortunately, but got friends there right now, and they're about to leave, so I got to jump on that.
It's now or never.
Yeah, it's now or never.
Are you a morning person or a night owl?
Definitely a morning person. Okay. I wake up at 4:30 every day. I have an internal clock that wakes me up. It's not even an alarm anymore. It just wakes me up. That's when I get my workout in. And then, yeah, by 8, 9 o'clock, I'm given at night, or 2100 for... The Marines on the podcast, I start to feel it, and And that's when I go to bed.
Crawl into bed.
Yep, yep.
What's a TV show, book, movie, or podcast do you recommend?
Let's see. Book, Habits by James Clear. Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Oh, that's a good
love one. That book. Love the emails I get every Thursday from his blog. So, yeah, I reread that book a lot just because, you know, habits are, you gotta work on them and behaviors, and it's a lot of life lessons in there that I like to teach Marines, but also teach my kids. So it's a good one. I recommend that one.
I've learned a lot about the program that I actually didn't know.
Awesome.
So, helpful.
So goal achieved.
Yes.
No, it was great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Equipping the Corps. Don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcasting platform or on social media. We'd love to hear from you.